Well, you can take your Bibles tonight. You can go to 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 8. And I thought I would, in honor of the holiday, share a little bit on love. On love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. It says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is what?
Love.
That's right. God is love. Right? Which means that love is one of the qualities of God. He is love. Love is something that God created. Right? Love exists because God made it. And God is love. Without God, love wouldn't exist. He is the authority on love. Right? So when we want to understand something about love, the first thing that we need to know is that God is love. Right? Love exists because of God. So we want to look at what love is. How does God describe it, right? And in the Greek, there are four words for love in the Greek language. Two of them really aren't used in the Bible. Storge, S-T-O-R-G-E, is a naturally occurring, unforced love that you usually find in like a family or a spouse, right? It's just something that naturally occurs. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to force it. You just storge. Eros is a passionate love. And that's where we get, it's the root word for the word erotic, if you will. It doesn't really occur in the Bible either. Phileo does, and it is brotherly love. Brotherly love. It's a warmth and an affection like you would find in a best friend. That's phileo. And then agape is the most powerful and the noblest of love, right? It's a sacrificial love, and it's an act of will rather than just a feeling, right? That kind of love is a decision that somebody intends to carry out, you know? Not that it just happens automatically or it's just a feeling or something natural. It's a real decision, and that is the love of God, right? That is the love of God. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And that's the kind of love that you can show to those you would consider unlovable, right? If someone is someone you would consider unlovable, you wouldn't eros them, you wouldn't storge them. You're likely not to phileo them, right? But it is agape that allows you to love that person. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, it talks about love. And this is the way that God describes love, his agape love. Charity, which is the word for love, it's agape. Suffers long, which means it's patient. One of the qualities of love is that it's patient. And is kind. Love is kind. Love envieth not, which means it's not jealous. It doesn't look at something else and wish that it had something better. Right? Love vaunts not itself, is not puffed up. Which means it's not boastful or proud. It's not haughty. It's not seeking attention, right? It's seeking to give and to be kind. It doth not behave itself unseemly, which is a fancy way of saying it's not rude, right? So love isn't rude. Seeks not her own, which means love isn't selfish, right? So if you're being selfish, you're not being what? Loving, right? Is not easily provoked, is not easily provoked, which is easily angered, and it thinks no evil. That thinks no evil means that it doesn't keep a record of wrongs, right? And when you don't keep a record of wrongs, then you are forgiving, right? And so love is forgiving. One of the biggest things you can do to love somebody is to forgive them, right? If they've done something wrong to you, and you can forgive them. That's a great act of love. Verse 6, it rejoices not in iniquity. It doesn't delight in evil, but it rejoices in the truth. Charity, or beareth all things, believeth all things, hope all things, and endures all things. Right? And that beareth is like a protection, right? It covers, it protects. So love is something that covers and it protects. It believes all things, right? It trusts, it's a believing and a trusting thing. It hopes and it endures all things, right? It perseveres. It finds a way. It pushes through. And then in verse 8 it says that charity never what?
Fails.
Right. It never fails. And so this is how God describes the love that he created, that he invented, and the love that he loves with. Right? Which is a lot of cool things, right? Those qualities are amazing. God is patient. God is kind. You know, God does forgive. God isn't somebody who is, you know, jealous or thinking evil of you, right? And his love does not fail. Go to John chapter 3, verse 16. John 3:16. This is the sports arena verse. You see it on signs all the time. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." So this is how big God loved the world. This is like the beginning of this verse says, this is how big God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what?
Everlasting life.
That's right, everlasting life. God so loved the world, right? The world. That's everybody. God so loved everybody that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave the life of his only begotten Son, who did no wrong, who was perfect, who led a sinless life, right? He gave his life for the entire world, who is just a bunch of sinners, right? Everybody else has sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he gave his Son for all of those people, right? This is what people need to know about God, right? What people need in the world to know about God is that he loves them. And that this is the degree to which he loves them, right? A lot of people think that God is scary, or that God is looking for a way to punish them, or God is looking for, you know, that you have to do a million billion things for God to love you. You have to walk a certain way to be worthy of it. But God so loved everybody that he gave his only begotten Son. And that's how much he loves them. He saw the world and what they needed, and he gave what was most precious to him, right? So he saw a whole world of people who had great need and gave what was most precious to him. In Romans 5:8, it says that, let's go there. Let's go to Romans 5:8. Can't hurt to read the whole thing. Romans 5:8. Says, but God commendeth his love toward us. The word commendeth means demonstrated. This is how God shows his love. God shows or demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right? That's how he showed people how much he loved them. That while we were yet sinners, we were unworthy, we certainly didn't deserve it, that Christ died for us. For us. That's the extent to which God loves people. It's not about deserving love. And that's the greatness of the love of God, right? That's why it's different from the other categories of love. It's not this naturally occurring, oh, it's so simple, right? It's a real decision. And oftentimes it's something that people certainly don't deserve, right? But that's what makes it so big, right? Because the love that God had for us was delivering. We didn't deserve it, but then we got born again. We have everlasting life as a result. That's huge. Go to 1 John chapter 3. It warms my heart when I get a hug from my daughters. But that's not going to give me everlasting life. Right? That love feels good, but it's just a whole magnitude bigger when it comes to the love of God. 1 John 3, verse 11. For this is the message that we heard from the beginning. That we should what? Hate one another. Compete with one another. See who could be better than each other. It says that we should love one another. This is the message we have heard from the beginning. This is what it's all about. That we should love each other. Verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he, Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, for each other. That's the way that we're supposed to love. Right? That we would lay down our lives. That it might be inconvenient. It might take some effort. But that's the way that we're to love. Right? And it's cool how in those other two verses, John 3:16 and Romans 5:8, was like, this is how God showed that he loved people. And here it says, this is how we perceive it, right? God showed it, we perceive it. We perceive the love of God because Christ laid down his life for us. It helps us to understand it. Verse 17, but whoso has this world's good and sees his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? Right? If you have something to offer, and you see someone who's in need, right, to just decide not to, that's not walking with the love of God. Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. Let's not just say it. But in deed and in what? Truth. True love. True love requires action. Love is a verb. And it requires action. So we ought to love each other the way that God loves us. The way that God loves us. Chapter 4, verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. Right? Love is of God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Can you see over and over and over again that the way that God wants us to understand how much he loves us and how big this love is that he gave his only begotten Son for us. You know, he wants us to understand that the kind of love that you would have to sacrifice your only child is that kind of love, right? Over and over again, he tells us, this is how I want you to understand it, right? This most precious thing to me is what I gave for you, because I love you. Verse 10, herein is love. not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation or the payment for our sins. Right? It's not that we love God. It's not that we did something to deserve it. It's that God loved us. Beloved, verse 11, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. Right? Have you ever seen God with your eyeballs? No. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Right? His love is made complete in us. So we can't see God with our eyes, but if we love the way that he loves, then it puts into evidence that God dwells in us. And it's kind of like looking at that aspect of God, seeing that love manifested. Verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He says it again. And he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, which refers to the present day, today. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out or drives out fear. So another quality of love is that there's no fear in it. And that the real love of God drives out fear. Because, and the way that this verse should read from here on out is, because fear has torment, he that fears is not made perfect in love. Right? Fear has torment, and because it has torment, you can't be perfect with fear. Right? He's not made perfect in love. We're not able to love the way that God would want us to love if we're afraid. Right? But that love is what drives out the fear so that we can love that way. And then verse 19, the word him is not there. It says, we love because he first loved us. Right? We're able to love that way because God loved us. Right? We're able to love with the love of God because of what Jesus Christ accomplished, and because God had that kind of love for us. He's the one who created it. He's the one who made it available through what his son accomplished. And we can love because he loved us. Go to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14. So that's what true love is. True love is not from a princess who kissed a frog and turned him into a handsome prince. True love is not what woke up Snow White from her slumber. True love is the love of God in the renewed mind manifestation, that agape love, that decision to love the way that God does. And it says that we can love that way, which is mind-blowing, right? When you really think about it. That we can love the way that God loves us if we renew our minds to it. Corinthians 16, verse 14. It says, let all your things be done with what?
Charity.
Love. Let all your things be done with love. We should do everything with love. Whatever it is, we should do it with love, to bless people, to take care of them. We're going to close in 1 Peter 4, 8. First Peter 4, 8. It says, and above all things, have fervent charity. Deep, deep love is what that should read. Deep, deep love. Have deep, deep love among yourselves. For charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins. Right? It makes up for and covers for all kinds of stuff. Right? Because that's what love is. It's kind, it's patient, it's forgiving, it's healing. You know, when we love the way that God wants us to love, the way that we're capable of loving in the renewed mind, it just takes care of so much. It's healing and it's delivering, and it really takes care of people. And so the way that God has loved us, has demonstrated his love to us, right, helps us to better understand how we can love one another.